disciple you so that you can model and then act on what God has given to you to disciple others. And that's what I would like to share with you. So if you could turn your Bibles to a familiar text, which is out of the book of Romans, the New Testament, the book of Romans. We're going to be looking at just a few verses, starting with chapter 8, verses 27 through 29. Again, I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version, the book of Romans. And we're going to be looking at the 8th chapter, verses 27 through 29. Amen. Please keep Evangelist Mamie Sargent, our assistant pastor, and her family, Brother Willie. Amen. What's up, Brother Willie? Keep them in prayer. Amen. Certainly know that God is able. The book of Romans, chapter 8, I'm going to be looking at verses 27 through 29. If you don't have it, it is up on the big screen. You can follow along with us out of the New King James Version. Amen. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy and inspired word. If I could just continue our theme and our series on discipleship, I would preach from this thought: enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would bless right now. We ask, Lord, that you would pour out your blessings and pour out your spirit and understanding and wisdom upon us as your people, that, Lord, not only would we be better, but we would also do better. Lord, we pray and we ask that you will continue to bring about understanding of what you have purposed in our lives and what you have created in us. And then, Lord, we ask that when we recognize it, when we realize it, that we would act upon it, not just to keep it to ourselves, but to share it with those that are still struggling and those that are still lost and those that are still frustrated. Father God, create in all of us a clean heart. So, Lord, my prayer for me, Lord, as I proclaim your word, is that you would break me, make me, and mold me. Touch me, Lord, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And then, Lord, let me speak what you would have me to say to your people. And then, Lord, as it comes forth, Lord, do what only you can do throughout this entire world, and that is touch the hearts of your people. Move in their lives and give them ears to hear and hearts to receive what says the Lord. So, Lord, as I decrease, Lord, Lord, let the Spirit of the Lord increase in me. And then, Lord, when all of this is done, when we get finished with the mandate that you have called upon each individual that stands behind this sacred desk, Lord, Lord, let your power move in the hearts and minds of your people. and let the word do what it was intended to do, and that is to save a sinner, strengthen the saint, heal, deliver, and set free. Lord, we will be ever so grateful for the move of your power. In Jesus' mighty and precious name we do pray. And the saints of God say, amen. Amen. Again, we're looking at the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 27 through 29, speaking on the thought, enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Minister Smith, we all recognize that any gold in life worth achieving demands a great deal of our energy. If you are a doctor, you must spend vast hours alone and in residency studying the human body. See, the life of your patients demands it. Evangelist Tiffany, if you are a teacher such as yourself, you must live in the library, researching and preparing for your lectures. Why? The mind of your students demand it. If you are a carpenter, Deacon Darnell, you must patiently measure the building before you drive the first nail. The integrity of the structure depends on it. If you are a mother, Sister Valerie Green, you must sacrifice your life for another. Your children require it. And beloved, we could not live if we did not set goals and work to fulfill them. I don't know about you, but no sane person would argue otherwise. You see, the objective in life is not the gold, but the journey on the way to the gold. Let me say that again, because I think that when we set goals, we set ourselves up because we don't realize what it's going to cost. What work do we need to do to achieve it? I would love to be able to build a big old house, but without the proper knowledge of how the structure should go and the journey it's going to take for me to achieve that, the goal don't mean nothing. We as parents understand that we want the best for our children, but if we don't properly do all the things that we need to do according to the mandate that God has given us in reference to being the best that we can be as parents for our kids, we fail them. And the same goes on with being a skilled professional. We need to understand that we need to do the proper things and know that it's going to be a journey to be able to achieve it. So the objective of life is not just setting goals and having goals, because sometimes it seems like it's insurmountable for us to be able to achieve it, but know that if we would just ride along in the journey to the goal, we will achieve where we need to be. And the same is our life spiritually in God. Our ultimate journey in life is to glorify God. And one way in which we have the ability to glorify God is by becoming more like Christ. I'm not saying that you got to do everything that he did, because we can't do that. But if we would just emulate glorify him in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits, the journey won't be as bad as we think it is. Why? Because God's plan has always been to make you and I like his son. And because of Jesus Christ, God wants us, all his children, to bear the family resemblance, which is most clearly seen in his son. The reason why we exist is to bring glory to God. God created us and all things in his own glory. The mission of our church is to bring people to Jesus Christ and membership in his church and as a family, developing them to be Christ-like mature, equip them for ministry in the church and outside the church, and the life mission in the world in order to magnify God. God did not create us to just sit back and wait for somebody else to do what needs to be done, or to allow us to just wait for his coming. God had created us to be able to be a shining example of what his children are all about. That's why what this world needs more is more love. What this world needs more of is a shining example of what we can do and who we can be as a people, but only if God is in the business. Our mission, Macedonia, is to glorify God in each of our lives in 5 key areas. First, membership. And then maturity. Then ministry. And then mission. And lastly, magnification. These areas are so important because the call of every Christian is to become broken bread and poured out wine to others until they are able to feed on God for themselves. We can't just be like Satan, who says what he needs to say and get us distracted and then leave. God said that I will never leave nor will I forsake. So why would we do that with others who knows, or who we know needs to know about the good news of the gospel? And can I share something with you? When you allow God to pour out and you do his will and his way, he will pour back into you and replenish you. Discipling is teaching a person to follow Jesus so they can feed on God for themselves. It's leading a person to take responsibility for themselves and for others. And on this journey, Jesus has called us individually and collectively to go into our world to make, mature, and mobilize disciples for him. We need to be careful, beloved, not to become commuters or consumers in the faith. Can I say that again? Because some of y'all might be saying, what is he talking about? We need to be careful not to become commuters or consumers in the faith. We have to exchange the culture that has been laid before us in churches today, coming here. And we need to take on the approach for God to go and tell. Because the problem is that we can't do it the way we used to do it, because God has demanded us today to go and tell somebody about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the mandate that he gave his disciples when he commissioned them to go ye therefore. We have to be more vigilant to keep our focus on serving God instead of being served. Ooh. Oftentimes we want somebody to get this and somebody to do that in the name of Jesus, but Jesus did not demonstrate that with his own example. He served the people that should have been serving him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was, he is, and he always shall be our master. We should be serving the King. And yet, he showed what a great, awesome, and mighty example he was by serving us. He kept his focus on his Father. He kept his focus on God. He kept his focus on his commission. He kept his focus on the sacrifice. And that's what he is asking us to do. This is God's heart for his followers. That we know him and make him known to others. I know that you can tell me without a shadow of a doubt that God has been good to you. Why? Why? Why am I saying that? Because he woke you up this morning and he started you on your way. I know the world view is looking at you saying you must be crazy to give him joy, to give him praise, and to worship him under the circumstances. But I'm here to let you know that he has never left you, nor has he forsaken you, because he woke you up this morning. So he wants you now to show the deposit that he has put in you to invest in somebody else, because God, in his infinite wisdom, has deposited and shown you and I that he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. And then, not only did he show us that, but he is allowing us to still be in fellowship and commune with him. He didn't have to do it, but he loves us so much that he did it. And so, by what God has done for us, it is now time for us to be able to invest in others. See, enjoying the journey and bringing joy and glory to God is a key fact and a key for us being able to move on just a little while longer. So enjoy the journey and bring glory to God by worshiping him. Enjoy the journey and bring glory to our Heavenly Father by loving others. Bring the journey, or enjoy the journey, and bring glory to God by becoming more like Christ. Enjoy the journey and bring glory to God by serving others with our gifts. And enjoy the journey and bring glory to God by telling others about Him. And so examine your journey and ask yourself, am I glorifying God by discipleship? We may not understand how things will work. And we certainly won't understand how it will work for our good. But we must believe that God is. And God is the source of my strength. And He is the love of my life. According to this text, God is working for our good, which is to make us more and more like Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to be more and more like Christ, because God works for the good of His people, not merely in the good things or the indifferent things, but in all things. I'm so glad that God makes no mistakes, and we should not make a mistake in our understanding of His will and His way. The call of Jesus is clear. Every follower under the sound of my voice and are followers of Christ is responsible to go out into the world with the priority to be a disciple who makes disciples. You can't do anything if you don't have something inside of you. If you want to be an ambassador of Christ, you got to go to the master. You got to ask Him to pour into your life. You got to tell Him that you believe. You got to tell Him that you got faith. You got to tell Him that He is your all in all. You got to tell Him that you love Him. You got to tell Him that you trust Him. That you got to tell Him that everything to God, I give Him praise. And then when you tell Him, He shall receive it. And then He shall send His Spirit upon you. And then when He sends His Spirit, He'll start moving in your life. He'll start taking away all the negativity. He'll start to renew your mind and strengthen your heart. And then you can move with joy. And then the goal will be then the journey. And then you can take that journey. And then you can tell somebody that Jesus is real. Why do you say He's real? Because He's real in my life. You can't do anything until God starts to work in your life. But you got to open up and you got to let Him in. You got to tell Him that He's your all in all. You got to tell Him that He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. You got to tell Him that He is your rock and you will stand firm and you will go all the way because you know there's a reward heading your way. I'm here to let you know that the gospel is simple, but the following is not so easy. Fellowship is simple, but following can be hard. Salvation is most definitely free, but it isn't cheap, for it cost God his only begotten son. His son allowed them to take his life, but they don't realize that they don't even continue with the script at hand. They thought they had him when they nailed him to an old rugged cross, but they don't realize that they didn't take his life. Jesus gave his life. But why did he give his life? Because the gospel is not simple, and fellowship is not simple, but it also cost him so that we may live. The gift is eternal life, and I'm so glad that God still considers us worthy of eternal life. But you got to turn your life over the care of him. I need you to understand that becoming a believer, we become disciples, and that costs everything that we have. I need you to realize that you got to do the work. You got to continue on the journey called life. But you can walk with him, and you can talk with him, and you can understand and realize that he is your own. You got to develop a relationship with him. You got to have fellowship with him. And then you can have fellowship with him. Salvation is more than just a decision to trust in God as your Savior. It is a call to abide in fellowship. It's more than a moment in an on-time conversion. It is more than a radical transformation of a person's life, because when God do it, he will do it and set you in a new life. A new life in Christ. I'm so glad that he took the time to work on me, not as a 360, but a 180. I was born in sin. I had done it my way. But then one day, one evening, on a revival night, I turned my life over to the care of him. But the journey didn't stop there. The journey started to continue, because I made some bad decisions and I made some bad choices. But I'm so glad that when I rejected him, after I turned my life over to him, he wasn't finished with me yet. Because as I was going on journey's course, he started moving. He started doing some things in my life. Then I developed not just a friendship, but a relationship. I started to realize that God is my all in all. When I made that decision, like Paul did on that Damascus road, he took me in his own. He said that I was worthy of the walk and worthy of his love. He dispensed grace and mercy upon my life. And now I'm brand new, because I have a relationship with Christ. Now I'm on this journey, enjoying the ride, because God is by my side. Is he by your side? Are you enjoying the journey? If you're enjoying the journey, enjoy it with Jesus. Jesus is letting us know that despite what we see today, he's not finished yet. I know things look crazy. Your household is going through. Fatigue has set in. Frustration befalls us. And guess what? It don't even have nothing to do with the coronavirus. We've been dealing with this for a while now. The coronavirus just polarized it. And now God is saying, are you ready to trust me? Are you ready to lean and depend on me? Are you willing to love me just like I love you? Because a lot of us are just having an affair with Jesus. But do you love him intimately? Do you trust him? If you was to spiritually lean back, would you fall? Or during the journey, would God pick you or hold you down? Like hold you up? If you was to, you know, they do that trust thing about trusting somebody. If you was to lean back, would you trust God like you would trust your friend? See, the goal is to lean back, understanding that at the end of the segment, at the end of this example, that somebody's gonna hold you up. Can I tell you right now that spiritually, when you trust in God and you lean back with the goal of him not allowing you to fall, the journey will be enjoyable. It's the same thing when we go about the things we do. When you take a drive, you take a long distance drive, you know, you're excited about getting to your destination. The goal is to get where you're supposed to be at. But you got to understand, from the time you start and the time you end, you got to deal with the journey. Do you trust every person that's riding opposite of you? Do you trust individuals in front of you and certainly individuals in back of you? Heck, do you trust yourself? Your excitement is I'm getting ready to start this goal to get to the other side. And I'm looking forward to doing what I need to do when I get there. But you got to realize that in between then and there, you got to go through the journey. I was driving yesterday, getting back to where I was coming from. And when I was pondering onto this message, after, you know, traveling almost 200-300 miles, I was realizing, man, I must got it. My trust level must be strong when these individuals are flying by opposite of me and people in back of me and certainly people in front of me. And then setting the goal to get proper rest so that I can take the journey. But you know what? As much as I trust me and rely on them doing their job, I put more and most of my, I'm being honest with you, I put most of my reliance on God that he will carry me through. You know? And so what I'm saying to you is that I'm not there yet. So don't think that you're the only one. I'm not there yet. But I thank God that I'm allowing him to continue to pour more and more and more in me. I would ask you to do the same thing. The doors of the church are open. You can't enjoy the journey if you never, first of all, made a decision. See, in order for you to enjoy this journey that I just preached with you, I just shared with you, is that you have to make a decision. You have to, you know, I remember the song that said, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And because I made that decision, the journey then takes place. Because then the next thing is no turning back. No turning back. You have to make a decision to turn your life over to the care of God. When you make that decision and you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all you have to do is just pray a simple prayer. Sometimes people make it complicated. It's not complicated. Jesus said all you got to do is believe, repent. He says if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is who he say he is, he said you will have eternal life. Now, you got to make that choice. I can't make it for you. All I can do is share my experience, my strength, and my hope of what God has done in my life. And let me tell you something. He's been a mighty, mighty God in my life. Even there's times where I haven't done everything that he asked me to do. He's been mighty, mighty in my life. I know he can be mighty, mighty in yours. But you got to make a decision. You got to ask God to come into your heart. You got to ask him to be your Lord and Master. You got to allow him to take control of the throne of your life. And then he will start you on the journey of changing your outlook. Changing your grief to joy. Your frustration to faith. Your fear to hope. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. But you got to make a decision to do that. And when you make that decision, he'll start pouring into you. So you got to make that decision. You got to turn your life. So if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Make the decision today with the hope of the journey. And then if you made that decision,